Good morning, everybody. I hope you're not put off by the complicated looking sheet that I've given out. It's not as complicated as it seems. I'd like to speak about the way the Luach works. The reason why I thought of this particularly now is partly because in last week's parsha, Rashi, working out the cheshbonus of when the mabul happened, speaks about the months happening, considering one month being a mole, one month being chose, and so on. That's one reason. The other reason is because Cheshvan and Kislev were the only two months which can vary in their lengths. And since we're now in Cheshvan, I thought it was topical to speak about this idea. Now, we know that our calendar is a combination both of the solar calendar and the lunar calendar. This is well known. Since the Torah says that Pesach has to be in the Chodesh Ha'aviv, so it has to be that we cannot have what the Muslims have, which is purely a lunar calendar, which would make, since a lunar calendar is based on days of approximately 29 and a half days, giving you 354 days in the year, which means the lunar calendar, the lunar year, is 11 days shorter than the solar calendar of 365 days. So therefore, if you just follow a lunar calendar, every year Pesach would get 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier. We all know this doesn't happen. We have the Ivoyar, we have the Adar Sheni that copes with this problem. There's a cycle of 19 years, this is well known. And in these 19 years, there are seven Ivoyar, 7 years where we have an extra Adar, an Adar Sheni. Does anyone know which ones they are? Can anyone tell me off by heart? In the 19-year cycle, which ones they are? Can you remember a phone number? Phone numbers are 3 and then 4, right? So remember this phone number, 332-3332. If you can remember that phone number, 33, I haven't tried phoning it, 332-3332, you will have the cycle of the 19 years. In other words, you start from the beginning of the cycle, you go, the third year is a leap year, then another three, that's the sixth year is a leap year, and then you go 2, so the 8th year is a leap year. Then you go another 3, 11th year. Another 3, the 14th year. Another 3, the 17th year. And then 2, the 19th year. 3, 3, 3, 2. If Rabbi Eli Munk, that's the French Rabbi Eli Munk, who wrote Kol HaTorah, he writes there that when Yaakov bowed down to Esau, he says he bowed down to him 7 times. He says this is because Yaakov is symbolized by the moon, and Esav is the sun, the Levona. So Yaakov has to accommodate Esav. In the course of 19 years, we have to accommodate Esav 7 times, and that's why Yaakov bowed down to Esav 7 times to symbolize this idea. Now, if you look at this the sheet in front of you, first of all, you see this very horrible-looking formula. It says the Moilad length. Now, that is the precise amount of time between when the new moon happens in Shemayim. It's there in the Shemayim. You can't actually see it when it's happening. But when the cycle from that to the next one is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. Does anyone know how many chalokim there are in an hour? 1,080, that's right. There are 1,080 chalokim in the hour. That's the unit that Chazal used. And the Rambam writes, the reason why they used that unit was because it's a unit that's easy to work with. It's got lots of factors you can use for that number, the 1,080. Interesting enough, I had a great uncle. His name was Dr. Bernard Homer Zichron Rocha. There's one vort, only one vort that I remember from him. Well, that was the following. Rashi brings... in Vezos HaBrocha, this says that the Bnei the Yisachar were Amim Har Yikro. The Yisachar used to summon the people to Har HaMoriah. They used to bring to Beis HaMikdash because they were the ones who were in the Sanhedrin, who had the expertise in the calendar, and they summoned the people through their working out the calendar to Yerushalayim. And he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. They understood the itim, the times, how the times worked. Now, if you take the word itim, you get the gematria of 1,080. Work it out. Exactly, it doesn't work. It does work, however, because the mem is the final mem, and there's a gematria when you take the final letters. So you finish the top is 400, and then the final letters are chof, which is 500, and the final mem is 600. So if you take mem as 600, itzim is gematria as 1080. That's a remez to the fact that Chazal used this unit of chalokim, which is 1080 chalokim in an hour. Now, as we see, the length of the molad, which is worked out that is in chalokim in an hour, and then it works it out in 20 and how many chalokim, and then exactly in decimals. When you look in the Torah, in Shin Tokit Kof Dalet, he speaks a great length about this, and there the cheshbonis are very hard because they're not using decimals, they're using and working out all the chalokim in the hour and adding them all together, how many in a month, how many in a year, and so on. It's very complicated. It's much easier when we do it with decimals. That's the length of the molad. Now, why can't we have a month that is finishing halfway through the day? Be a nice idea. I mean, I did find this once. There's only really one place in our Jewish calendar where we have Minat Torah, something which changes in the middle of the day. What is that? Something Minat Torah. That's Erev Pesach, right. Erev Pesach, Ach Chalek, we split Erev Pesach. Minat Torah, there's a concept, we split the day in half. But other than that, we don't find that. I once found something was similar to that, but it wasn't really. It was the Mafreya. I'll explain to you what happened. I was in Yeshiva, a long time ago now, in Eretz Israel, and there was a bocher there. His name was Hess. He's probably married. He was about to get married, and he was from Canada, and he was in Eretz Israel, and he was staying there, and he was going to get married in Eretz Israel and stayed there. And he was told by his rabbi in America that until you're married, you keep 2 days, and once you get married, then you keep 1 day. And he said, and this is based on the Pesach of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So I remember the scene. This was in Rav Tzvi Kushnevsky's yeshiva in the old days when it was in Geula, and the yeshiva was around the central courtyards, and there were the toilets were in the middle of the courtyard. It was very cold when you got up in the middle of the night, in the winter, to go out to the courtyard. And then we were there in the courtyard. There was one phone. It was a pay phone. And the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tzvi Kushnevsky, was on the phone to Rav Steinberg, because he was convinced that, according to the Pesachim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, this bocher, since he was already in Eretz Israel and was due to get married, which should keep 1 day and not 2 days. So he was on the phone to Rav Steinberg, and Rav Steinberg agreed with him. And so he turned to the bocher and said, right, you keep 1 day. And the next thing the boy did, as far as I remember, was he took his tie off. That was it. So now, there he was. He had been keeping Yontif. He was in the middle of Yontif, and suddenly it becomes chol for him. But of course, that's not really where you have half a day of one thing, half a day of the other. It's just that you'll know it, and then you realise it's a mistake. So the Mafreya, really, the whole day was a whole for him. But apart from that, you can't have the idea of a day being half Rosh Chodesh, half not Rosh Chodesh. You can't do that. So you couldn't have say, right, the month will change in the middle of this. And the Rambam is derived from this, because the Pasuk says, Ad Chodesh Yomi. There's a Pasuk that says, Ad Chodesh Yomi, that the month is counted by days, units, complete units of days, and not anything less, not by half days. So it has to be that the month changes over. But since the month changes over, and it's a new day that starts the new month. But since it's 29 and a half days, so we have to do this approximation of making alternate 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days. Now, in the times of when they were Kadosh Al-Pi Ha-Ri'iyah, it was done automatically because the Eidim came and they would see the Vona, come report it, and this was done automatically. Even though we'll see later on, it wasn't quite as simple as that. But now, from the times of Hillel Sheni, Hillel Anossi, he made a fixed Luach, and this Luach goes according to the basically 29-30, 29-30, but with exceptions. If you look at on the left-hand side of page 1, where you've got the months and the length of the months, you'll see that Tishrei is always Mole, so Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is always 2 days. Tishrei is Mole. Cheshvan and Kislev can vary according to the rules which Hillel HaZaken worked out how to make it all fit in together with the moon and the sun. And because even when you've done the 19 years, putting in the 7 leap years, you still haven't got exactly the right cheshbon to keep it in line with both the moon and the sun. And therefore, there are other rules as well. And that's what these 2 days, 2 months, cheshbon and kislev, about. They can be mole or chose. And then after that, it's always a cycle of chose, mole, mole, chose. It always goes, each one after the other one. Except for when you have Adar. The Adar near Pesach is always choser, but if there's two Adars, and the Adar Rishon is Mole, and the Adar Sheni is choser. Other than that, it always goes in a cycle, Kesidron, one Mole, one choser. Which means that if you look at the summer months, you look at Nisan, from Nisan through to Tishrei, it's all fixed. You know exactly once you know when Pesach is, when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. And in fact, the rules that we have, Lo Filitoflis, Lo Adurosh, and Lo Badu Pesach, those two rules, basically, they're all based on Lo Adurosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot fall on a Sunday, Aleph, on a Wednesday, Dalet, and not on a Friday, right? That's the basic rule. And it's working back from that that you get the Pesach, because there's a fixed number of days between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach, that Pesach, because of the following Rosh Hashanah, has to fall not on base Dalet Vav. Now, if you look at the Luach, it says the Luach HaIbur. On the right-hand side, you can see the 19-year cycle, Aleph down to Yud Tes. And that's the right-hand column. The next column, it tells you whether it's a Shana Peshuta or a Mu'uberes. And you can see that the cycle of 3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2. That tells you whether it's Peshuta or Mu'uberes. Now, if you want to work out the Luach, we have it all down for us. But if someone were working out the Luach from scratch, they would have to have the rules that tell you, first of all, whether it's a Shana Peshuta or Mu'uberes, and then they would have to have the rule to tell you whether Cheshvan and Kislev are both Mole, or are both Chose, or one Mole, one Chose. Once you know that, you're set. The only problem is, the rules are extremely complicated. How do you work that? I can't go into that. I don't know the rules, but they're extremely complicated rules of how you work them out with all these cheshbonos that Hillel has often made. Now, if you look where I've made a bold square, it says Zayin Ches. Does anyone know what that Zayin Ches stands for? What it stands for is like this. First of all, notice that if you look at the second letter in that whole table, it's either Shin, Kaf, or Ches. And that stands for Shin is Sholem, that means that both months are Mole, or it's Kaf is Kisidron, or it's Ches is Chose. So it's either Mole, or one's Kisidron, one's Mole, one's Chose, or Ches, they're both Chose. Once you know that, and you know the day on which Rosh Hashanah falls, which is the first letter in these pairs, then you're all set. So, you've got here, we're in the eighth year of the cycle, and we know that Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, and that both Cheshvan and Kislev are Chose. Of course, I only knew that by looking up in the Luach, and once I knew that, I didn't need anything else. But if you were starting, if you knew, had the information, you wanted to know, work out, you'll see how you work it out. Now, how do we know that we're in the eighth year of the cycle? Does anyone know how we work out the cycle? So you take the year you're in, and you've got to find a year which is divided exactly by 19. So if you turn your pages sideways, and you look at where it says Minyan Shlos HaMachzor, Pshutas Umuboros, so that is, it tells you, that table tells you how to work out which year you are in the cycle. So you can see where I made a bold square at the bottom. Shin Hei Tof, Hei Tof Shin Ayin Zayin. So the bottom line is the year we're in. Hei 5000, Tof Shin Ayin Zayin. No, it's not. Sorry, it's not the year we're in. It's the first year of the cycle we're in. And how do you work it out? You find a year which divides exactly by 19. That's the last year of the previous cycle. So the year, if you try it, 5776. You divide it by 19, it'll come out to 304. There have been 304 cycles, and the 305th cycle is the one we're in now, and it started in Tavshin Ayin Zayin, which means if you count forward, we're in the 8th year of the cycle. And you can work out any year using that. Now, that's how I got that we were in the 8th year of the cycle. And once you've looked, turning the page back the normal way again, so looking again, we're in the 8th year of the cycle. Rosh Hashanah was on Zayin, and it's a year where it's Chaser. Once you know that, turn over your page. I apologise for the quality of the photocopying. It was done from an old tour. And now you've got this extremely easy to understand table. And it goes like this. On the right-hand side are all the years of Pshutos. where they're not leap years. And on the left-hand side, you've got all the years of which are Boris. And you've got seven possibilities of how the year can fall in terms of whether what day Rosh Hashanah is, and also whether it's Mole or Chose or Kasidron. Have I lost everybody, or are we okay? Not okay. Right, I'll go through it again. Right, so let's look at the bold square that I've made bold. Right. This year we worked out, we said this year its simon is Zayin Ches. Zayin means the Rosh Hashanah fell on Zayin, on Shabbos, and Ches, because both Cheshvan and Kislev are Choseh. They both got only 29 days. And so that gives you the simon of what this year is. Now, since this year we also know is a leap year, we're looking on the left-hand side because it says Shah Hashanim Hamuboros. So once you know that, you've now got a list in the middle of all the different days, significant days in the year, and when they fall. So, for example, in the middle it says Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and you go to our column beneath the bold thing, and you see it's a Zayin. That tells you that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Then you go down, Tzom Gedalia tells you Tzom Gedalia falls on a Monday. Yom Kippur also falls on a Monday, and so on. You go all the way through, and it tells you when all the significant days happen in the year. It also, in the middle bit, it tells you those months which are always either Mole or Chose. For example, look at Teves. Teves Kaf Tesiyom. Teves is always Chose. Wherever it's always Chose, always Mole. So it tells you that in that middle table there. And that's what this whole table is telling you. And at the bottom, you've got a thing where it says which parishes are going to be joined together or going to be separate. That's all at the bottom. So on the right-hand one, when it's a simple year, all the sedras are joined together except for the ones written there. And on the left-hand side, it's the other way around. Obviously, you've got a longer year, so you need to separate more parishes because you've got more Shabbosos in the year. So there are all the parishes which could be Mechuba or separate, they are all they're all separate except for the ones listed here. That's how this whole table goes, and that's how people who write the calendar work out the luach. Okay, now you should know that there has been some controversy over the calendar. There was in the year Dalad Tof Reish Pei Aleph, which is the year 920 according to our luach. According to the Goyish way of counting, there was a major machlokes that arose about that year because people were following the luach that Hillel Hazaken had set, and everyone expected that in that year Pesach was going to fall on a certain day. However, and that both Cheshvan and Kislev would have 30 days. That's what was written in the luach. However, there was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, it was a great Tamid Chacham, and the way it's described in the article is that he would have been the Godel Hador, except there was someone happened to greater than him, we'll see in a minute. This Godel, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was the Rosh Shiva of the biggest yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that he announced that this coming year, Cheshvan and Kislev will both be Choseh, which means that Pesach would fall 2 days earlier than what everyone was expecting. Now, the other person I mentioned was Rav Sacher Goren. Rav Sacher Goren held that he was wrong, and although he was very young at the time, he was only 29, he took up the fight against this Rav, and he said that he's wrong. This Rav held his assessment was right, and that everyone had to listen to him, because he was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, and that had precedence over Bovel. And at that time, Bovel had gone through a lot of the yeshivas there, and the community had gone through a lot of difficulties, so it was weakened. So he felt that this was right, but they had to follow him because he was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rav Sacher Goren said he was mistaken, wrote him letters saying he was mistaken. Him and the people followed him did actually want to keep it. What happened in the long run is his view wasn't accepted. People accepted the view of Rav Sacher Goren. And this is part of the reason why people saw the godless of Rav Sacher Goren through this. Now, interestingly enough, there's another interesting controversy about what happened when they were the Kaddish Al Pi HaRu'iyah. Because if you look in the Rambam, or the Perish of Mishnais, in Rosh Hashanah, where they're speaking all about how they accepted the Edim, so Mishnah Beis, Perek Zayin, he says, Ani Toma Al Odom HaMisnatzech Al Devarim Yuduim. I'm amazed that there's a person who argues about well-known things. The Amar, and he says, Shadas HaYehudim Eina Benuya Al Rias Halavona. The Jewish religion is not based on seeing the moon. But purely on the cheshbon of how the molad works, which was a cheshbon which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Sinai and handed down. This cheshbon, exactly how long the month is and so on. This, the whole cheshbon of what we do, it was given the halacha Mishnah Sinai. But this Rav says it's only by the cheshbon. Who mamin b'kol halashonos ha'alon? He believes all this pesukim. The Rambam is quoting pesukim that show you that you go, you're makadosh al-pi ha'ri'ah. The Einir Eli she'omed avazeh, and this person he's referring to is Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon, I'll read to you what Rabbeinu Bechaya says in on Parshas Bo in Achodish Hazel Lachem. It's amazing to read it, and it goes very much against what we're used to. But this is what he says. He says, "This is Rabbeinu Bechaya on Parshas Bo Achodish Hazel Lachem." It says, "Ein kavanas hakosuv lahase osanu la'abes shanim lekvor chadosh ma'piriyas halavana." The kavanah here is not that we base the calendar on the moon. Ki bekviyas hachadoshim ein ikar b'torah lachushariyas halavana. Because the fixing of the months, the main thing in the Torah is not to worry about whether the moon is seen. Im teiroy mutav, if it's seen, good. V'im lo teiroy, and if it's not seen, b'yom hakviyas, on the day it should be. Ela kodim lekein or achal kein liyom or yomaim. We're not worried about it. Because the mitzvah is to do it alpi the cheshbon and not alpi the levana. And this is what the Rambam has come to fight against. He goes on, he talks about it, and he quotes Rabbi Chananel, who went in the view of Rav Sadia Gaon.
Why alpi riyah then?
Purely on the cheshbon. I haven't worked this through properly, but it seems that if the mitzvah to be kadosh alpi hariyah, but that wasn't the main thing. But what the
other rush? I shouldn't come from this day, this day.
Yes, no, that's right. That's all api the cheshbon. The truth is, even the Rambam who says the yomakadosh api haruia, there were also these cheshbonas. They kept the cheshbon. If they saw edim coming on a day when api their cheshbon, it couldn't be. They wouldn't accept the edim. And now there's a major machlokis in the Rishonim about whether lo adu rosh and lo badu pesach applied in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's interesting that there's a Gemara in Mokum Shenago in Pesachim where it talks about Erev Pesach Chal Shabbos, when do you bring the Korban Pesach? And there's a Braisa that says if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, the Korban is bought at the same time as if it fell on a Monday. Now why does it say Monday and not Sunday? So Rashi brings, he says why, he says because if Erev Pesach would be on a Sunday, then Pesach would be on a Monday. And we have a rule, loy badu Pesach. Pesach can't fall on base on Monday. Pesach cannot fall on a Monday. So he says, Rashi brings this, and he says, but it's not right, he says, because then they were Mekadosh Alpi Haru'iyah. When they were Mekadosh Alpi Haru'iyah, it could fall any time. And Tosfos says, no, he says, he brings Raya from Gemara, he says, no, that even the times of when they were Mekadosh Alpi Haru'iyah, they will be Dochit, lo adurish lo badu Pesach, which I haven't mentioned before. The main reason for this, why is it lo adurish lo badu Pesach, is because if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Friday, then Yom Kippur is going to be on Sunday, yeah? And if Rosh Hashanah falls on Friday, then Yom Kippur will be on a Sunday. And if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Wednesday, the Yom Kippur will be on a Friday. You'll have 2 days of Shabbos and Yom Kippur next to each other, and there'll be a problem with Yerokos, that the Yerokos, they didn't have fridges like us nowadays. The Yerokos will wither, and also Messiah, that they won't be able to bury the dead, and the dead will be Masriach. So for those two reasons, they do that. And there's also another, and the cheshbon why Rosh Hashanah can't be on a Sunday is because then Hoshana Rabbah would be on Shabbos. There's a lot of discussion of what's the problem if Hoshana Rabbah is on Shabbos. The Machzor Shekel brings the reason why you can't do it is because breaking off the leaves is a deraisa, and they say, no, it's not deraisa because it's already been cut off. And so some say the reason is because of muksa and of carrying Daladamas and the Gemara, and they bring it. No, it's not true. You bring it to the Gemara that there's no chashash of carrying when it comes to Arava. And there's one pshat, an interesting pshat, is because because on Hoshana Rabbah we daven for rain, so you cry and you daven for rain. That's not right. That should be on Shabbos. Interestingly, it's the Rambam says that these reasons are not the main. The main reason is you try to fit all the calendar cheshbonis together with having the days, and he says because of that. The main reason is because of these cheshbonis rather than that. And the Machzor Shekel brings from the Levush, who says that these reasons of Messiah, of the Yerokos, the Messiah is a Tam Kolosh. The main reason is you have to have 2 months somewhere in the year which are Male and Chaser, and because of that, it works. They do it in a Cheshbon, so that because of that, do it in such a way that Rosh Hashanah will never fall on Aleph, Dalet, Vav. Because of these reasons, but they're not the main reasons. These reasons are not the main reasons. Now, coming back to Rabbeinu Chananel, he says it must be they were Mekadesh al pi Cheshbon, because when they went through the Midbar, they couldn't see it was like Manchester. They couldn't see the sun. Because they're Anane Kovod. So it must have been the Mechadash HaPiyah Cheshbon, which is very interesting, because the Pasuk says, the Rashi brings the Chazal, Kazer Re'e V'Kadesh, Hashem Shal Moshe the Levona. So you understand that Moshe saw the Levona, as normal. It's clear according to this, it was a special sighting of the Levona, Hashem Shal Moshe, but normally you couldn't see it because of the Anane Kovod. And he also brings an interesting riot from the Shabbos Bereishis. Right before Yom Tov, I was asked by somebody, could I do the Haftorah on the Shabbos Bereishis? So I prepared the Shabbos Bereishis, Haftorah, a beautiful Haftorah, and then near the time I realized, of course, it was Mocha Chodesh, and not only I made that mistake, but the guy who brought me the Sefer had it on Shabbos Bereishis, and I said, actually, it was Mocha Chodesh. So in the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh, we have that David is missing at the Suda, and says Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, Hine Mocha Chodesh, tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh, and I'll be with you, with the king. How would David know that tomorrow is going to Rosh Chodesh, unless there was a Cheshbon that made it, that it must be, that it was, otherwise you have to, how do you know it's going to be Rosh Chodesh? And also that, he says, and then, it says on the second day, Shaul got angry because David wasn't there, right? So you see, there were 2 days through Rosh Chodesh. So you see that they had, even then, they were Kaddish. They were Kaddish al pi the Cheshbon. They didn't, and that's how they had 2 days Rosh Chodesh. It's very interesting. He brings rise to all the Mishnayos, all the Mishnayos about it. He says, Rabban Gamliel had Tzuras HaLevona. That was to she explained that the Baisusim and the Sadukim, who were heretical sects, they believed that we should Mekadesh purely al pi Hari, and they didn't believe in the Cheshbon. So he wanted to come and be motzi from them. And so that's why he had all these Tzuras HaLevona. But he describes that as a Zecha, only as a Zecha. I don't fully understand this, but it's a very interesting concept, this idea that he said that. However, the Rambam, as I quoted to you before, the Perush of Mishnayos, disagrees with this. There's a Tshuva Rav Hai Gaon who says, similar to what the Rambam says in the Perush of Mishnayos, the Rambam says, the Loshon, that I don't believe that Rav Sadia Gaon, who said it was al pi Cheshbon, really believed that it was purely al pi Cheshbon. Why did he say that? He said because he had to fight against people. That means the Karaites. The Karaites were very strong in his time. He had to fight against them. And he was prepared to, and he had to fight against them, and was prepared to tell them whether it's MS or it's not MS, whether it's right or it's not right, he had to fight against them. And the Tshuva of Rav Hai Gaon says, Kachreinu, kizeh she'amartim, she'kosem Rabbeinu Sadjuzal, konehu she'doch es apikosim. It's a stick he used to be doch apikosim. The emes hadova hu kach, and the truth is, the Ibra Hashona, the Ibra Hachodesh, Hashem gave it to Beis Din. What they do counts. There's a Gemara that says even if the Beis Din deliberately would say the wrong day, it goes on to be the Beis Din. And we all know that we are meramis to this when we say Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, that when we speak about Shabbos or Mekadesh Shabbos, when we speak about Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, because it's Kedusha of Yisrael, that the Beis Din have got the power to decide when Rosh Chodesh is. That is what makes it Mechodesh. So I thought this was a very fascinating insight into this the moon and the very controversies that have happened over our calendar. Okay.